Good morning and welcome to Calvary Chapel of Leesburg. My name is Ron Stauffer. I'm the pastor here. I'll be bringing the message today. Today is the 28th day of April, the year of our Lord, 2024. And we will be continuing in our study in the book of Genesis. We're in Genesis chapter 2. Today our verses will be 18 through 25. The title, as you can see above here, is Not Good to Be Alone. Not good to be alone. We're going to talk about fellowship and marriage and what exactly does it mean, not good to be alone. We'll see that God made man to be a social creature, a social creature. I'm going to ask that we stand while I read our text this morning, but first I want to return thanks to God and ask him for his blessing. Lord God, we pray that you bless this reading of your word and this teaching of your word today. I ask, God, that you would enlighten us as to what you mean by all this, about that it is not good, specifically it is not good for the man to be alone, you said, but we'll look at all aspects of this as well. And Lord, would you teach us to apply it to our lives as well? Lord, we want to live in conformance to your word, because you gave us your word for our benefit, for our own good, Lord. What a loving father you are, what a loving parent you are, that you just give us what is good for us, Lord. We pray, God, that we would see the good in what you gave us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, I'm going to be reading today. Our text is verses 18 through 25. I'll go ahead and start reading in verse 15 just to give us a little bumper of context there. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now we begin our main text today. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept. And he, that is God, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and we're not ashamed. This has been a reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Lord, I pray that you bless this to our hearts today and to our minds. Teach our spirits to understand and to live in a way that is praise to you and worships you. Lord God, I pray that you would be here present with us in your Holy Spirit. That you would show us what you mean, that it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Please have a seat. I love this section. Don't you love this section of the Bible? It's great. There is so much here. And just for some words of review, this whole series is called God's Design. God's Design. with the idea and the proposition being this, that the way God designed the world, the way that God made the world to be initially, is what he intended for it to be. It was, and he built the universe, the world, the cosmos, and all the creatures in it and all the things in it according to a design that he had in his mind, in God's mind. When I speak and I point to my head and say his mind, it's like, okay, I know we're all thinking probably Sistine Chapel and there's an old man on the ceiling and he's got a flowing robe and he's reaching out to touch Adam, and I get all that. So we have to somehow personify God in human terms. And in fact, God speaks of himself oftentimes with verbs and nouns and adjectives that we can understand. His righteous right arm at the right hand of the Father. The voice of God, the lips of God. A sacrifice being a sweet-smelling aroma in his nostrils. Does God have nostrils? Well, he wants us to understand that our sacrifice is sweet to him, and he's deigning to use human language, such this limited, limited way of communicating. God loves us so much that he will express himself, his infinite self, a portion of himself, with the complexity of human language, which doesn't do him justice at all. But thank God for that and praise him for that. It is not good for the man to be alone. So God had taken Adam. He took the man called Adam, which means man. And various forms of that word mean dirt or dust or reddish, whitish stuff, clay. And he put him in the Garden of Eden, which we said is typified by the picture is of a wall around a large, beautiful garden that is specially planted just for the benefit of mankind. And he put him in there to tend it and to keep it. So God gave the man, the alone man, a job to do from the beginning. So that means that God designed the man to do agricultural work from before man even existed, because he created man according to his design, according to God's design, to tend and to keep the garden. That is to work the garden and to guard the garden. So there's these two concepts of guard going on here. One is the word gan, G-A-N, the Hebrew word for garden, which implies a walled structure in which is planted plants. And then the word to keep it means to guard. And then we asked ourselves the question, guard against what? Well, evil already existed. Sin did not exist among mankind, but evil did exist because Lucifer already existed. So Lucifer's already in the cosmos somewhere. And so this is kind of like bum, 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 the drum beats, the ominous music that starts to play. Then we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, that the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but, and I'm going to stop right there. If you would ask the man on the street, the woman on the street, this question, like, what was the first sin? Anybody with some passing familiarity with the Bible, or maybe they went to Sunday school when they were a little child or something, they might say something like, Eve ate the apple, or, and apple, who knows? Or man ate from the tree of knowledge. But that's incomplete. It's not knowledge which is forbidden. It's the knowledge of good and evil. And why is that? Now, we can talk about that at Ron's theological roundtable at the Firehouse Subs after church if you want. But the idea is this, that man had a choice at this point. I can eat from all of these trees in the garden and the tree of life, and I'll live forever as long as I eat from that tree of life. But I will be blissfully ignorant of the difference between good and evil. Or I can take what's behind door number two. I can eat from the one and only tree that's forbidden to me in all this vast beauty of this garden, and I'll die. But I'll know good and evil, Yeah, what a choice. It's like you take a child to Toys R Us. I don't think they're even around anymore, are they? But back in the day, take them to a toy store and say, you can have anything you want. Anything you want. Just not this Captain Billy's whiz bang that's at the checkout stand right here. That you can't have. But of the other 9,999 special toys and things that are out here, just pull up the shopping carts and we'll buy it all. What do you suppose that kid wants? He wants Captain Billy's whiz bang. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, surely you shall die, or dying you shall die. God's first command was not, don't do this. But, I mean, we have this impression. The Old Testament God is a God who says, no, 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 don't. Stay away from that. First words he said to the man is, eat anything you want. All of this stuff is for you. It was words of permission. It was words of blessing. It was words of yes, 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 do, 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 take. Take what your heart desires. God's second part of his statement to man is, except for this. So God is a God of giving. That's where God's heart is at. He's a father. He's a parent. And what parent wants their child to have everything that the world has to offer to them? No good parent does. But what do good parents want for their children? They want their children to have all the good things that the world has to offer to them. All the good things. All the good choices. And then the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Verse 18. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So the only word that God had used, that the Bible has used, to describe the thoughts of God towards his creation up to this point is, it was good. It was good. The Lord saw that it was good. And again, it's good. At no point, up to this point, is it, and it was not good. But now here, it is not good that man should be alone. What does he mean by that? Oh, it's evil? No, God can't create evil. There is no sin in God. There's no evil in God. God doesn't make evil. But at this point, it was incomplete. The man was incomplete. There's something still needed. So we should think of this as God is saying, I ain't done yet. It's not good that the man should be alone. And then he takes counsel with himself. He prescribes then the solution. I'll make him a helper, comparable to him. And this comparable, this word suitable, this is the subject of lots and lots of theological debate. And it depends on culture and ideology and where your heart's at. And we'll get into some of that today. But the point is, it wasn't good that the man should be alone. And the implication is, but after I finish making this helper comparable to him, then it will be good. So we're into the second half of day six. So God makes this statement, and then of course you would assume, logically, what's the very next thing that God would do? He just said, I'm going to make him a helper. So the next thing you would think he would do is make him a helper. But he doesn't. Why not? Well, let's see. Next thing he does, verse 19, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. By the way, this is referring back to previous days. The Lord God formed every beast out of the field and every bird of the air. And now, we're back in day six, and he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Wait a second. Thought you were going to make a helper. No, I'm going to bring you animals. Not that Adam knows the difference at this point, and not that God even said that to Adam, but we get this glimpse into the mind of God. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and he brought them to the man, to Adam, to see what he would call them. So even before God makes this helper, he gives man another job. He's already created man to tend and to keep the garden, and now he brings the animals to the man. It doesn't say he orders the man or commands the man to name the animals, but he brings them to Adam, and then, wonder what he's going to name these animals. What a permissive God. He doesn't come to Adam and give counsel and say, you know, you see that animal over there with the udder hanging down? If I was you, I'd call it cow. But you do what you want. No, there's no direction here. God is not barking orders at Adam. He's just waiting to see what Adam will do. In this perfect garden where man doesn't know good, doesn't know evil, all he knows is, you just created me, and you gave me all this stuff, and you gave me one command, don't eat from that tree. And there's this pregnant pause.